around town this weekend, and then we'll get into some interviews.
Today you'll hear from Jung Ah Kim, the Programs and Communications Coordinator of the Tet Center in Kingston. We talk about their artist-in-residency program and the upcoming summer pop-up arts event. Then we'll hear from CFRC's own DJ Dina, who is performing at the Rock in the Square event tonight. They're opening for The Hallucination with some chill house on vinyl. All right, so coming up are your live music events happening around town this weekend. On Friday, Jason Kent of Young Petty Stones plays at the Cove Inn from 5 to 8 p.m. with a retro rock set. Catch Maggie's Wake at the Andrew starting at 7:30 p.m. for a night of modern Celtic folk from this Canadian band. Tickets are $30. At Hotel Wolf Island, the Wolf Island Records and Friends Showcase hits the patio at 8:30 to 10:20. Expect rootsy originals and special guests. Over at Miziki Cafe, Dynasty brings hip-hop, soul, and dance hall from 8:30 to 11 p.m., joined by local artists Cacao and Dupel. Also on Friday, Rock in the Square returns downtown from 8 to 11 p.m. with a free outdoor show featuring The Hallucination and openers DJ Dina and the Chippewa Travelers. And for fans of classic hits, the world's greatest tribute to the Traveling Wilburys plays at the Kingston Grand at 7:30, and tickets are $68.83. On Saturday, Saturday Sessions light up Confederation Park from 11:30 to 3:30 p.m. with Reg Corey, the Cliff Edwards Trio, and Willy Nilly. Folk icon Garnet Rogers plays Leopard Frog Barn at 2:30 p.m. Tickets are $30 with advance reservation by email or text. And the Goodnight Irenes are live at Timeout Bar and Bistro at 3 p.m. with folk tunes, followed by Spencer Evans from 7 to 10 with jazz. You can see a high-energy show from River City Junction at the Cove Inn from 5 to 8 p.m. for a $10 cover. Then at 7:30 p.m., you've got choices. See Nice On and Sunshine Makers play the Broom Factory with tickets for $15. Or catch Maggie's Wake play a show at Furnace Falls Farm for $30. Folks can also head to La Vida Bistro Bar for Havana Nights with Kiri from 7 to 9:30 p.m. Tickets are $41.80 and you can come for live Cuban music and a Latin grazing board. And Empire Rock Fest takes over downtown Belleville at 6 p.m. with the renowned Arkells, Lights, and Jake Clemens with tickets running for $65 to $99. And finally on Sunday, you can start with Jazz Brunch at the Black Dog Tavern from 11:30 to 2:30 p.m. featuring live music from Chantal Thompson and the Black Dog All-Stars. See Savannah Shea play a folk pop matinee at Miziki from 2 to 4 p.m. or catch Rory Talon's powerful alt-folk at Something in the Water from 3 to 6 p.m. Tickets for that one are $11.98. And lastly, at Hotel Wolf Island, Bri Webb of the Constantines plays a free folk rock set from 7 to 10 p.m. Have a local concert you would like shared on air? Head to cfrc.ca and let us know. And now let's hear about some great community events happening around town this weekend. On Friday, get involved in the Downtown Bingo Challenge running July and August through to September 13th. Pick up a bingo card at participating businesses and complete activities across downtown to win prizes. Over $3,500 is up for grabs. On Saturday, the LNA Expo Freestyle Skate Contest runs 9:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Best and Bash Arena with a full day of ranked skateboarding and live music with FFX, Monic, and The Struggle's Over. For families and kids, Paw Patrol Live hits Slush Puppy Place with shows at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Tickets start at $53 for this action-packed stage production. For singers, at 10 a.m. there's tryouts for the Voice of the Rideau Singing Contest taking place at North Crosby Community Center. It's $20 to enter with youth, adult, and kids categories. And at 11 a.m., a chef from Mila will lead a live cooking demo in Springer Market Square. They'll prepare a dish with local ingredients, and for just $2, you can have a sample. And on Sunday, start your day with free yoga in the park from 10 to 11 a.m. in Battery Park. All you have to do is bring your mat. And Paw Patrol Live continues at Slush Puppy Place with more performances at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. And if you're in the mood for classic sci-fi, head to the screening room to see the 1936 film, Things to Come. It's part of the Sci-Fi July series from the Cinema Society of Kingston, and tickets are just $10. Have a community event that you would like shared on our website and news programming? Contact us today via cfrc.ca. Those were the events and concerts that folks can look forward to this weekend. Now I'm going to share a conversation between myself, Ellie Sturton, and Jung Ah Kim, the Communications and Program Coordinator of the Tet Center. Jung-ah gives us insight into the inner workings of the Tet Center, the different arts organizations that work together to create events like the Summer Pop-Up, and also discusses the Artist in Residence program that the Tet offers. Applications for the coming year will open in August, so stay tuned to learn more. Today, I'm joined by Jung-ah Kim, the Program and Communications Coordinator of the Tet Center in Kingston. To start off, can you tell me a little bit about your role at the Tet Center?
Yeah, so I mainly take care of programs at the Tet. Yeah, manage the programs and then also develop new programs. So we have our kind of like regular programs such as Tet Tuesday or Kids Creative Club. Tet Tuesday program, it's also a way that, you know, anyone who's over 18, this is adult program, but anyone who's over 18 and even 18, you know, like they can basically just bring whatever creative projects that they're working on. It could be an art project or a, you know, like a craft project, anything. They just bring it and then they just use the space together and then connect together while they're, you know, using the time and space to work on their pieces. So I would like to also, you know, for people out there who are just working at home, you know, whether it's art or whatever, like you can just bring your stuff out here and then do it together with us. And then, you know, that way you will meet new people, connect with new people. And then also you will also have the opportunity to showcase your work at Tet Tuesday exhibition. We just finished one for this year in June, but obviously there's going to be another one next year. So the program starts in September this year again, and it's always the second Tuesday of every month. So yeah, once you come to this program, then you will definitely be able to showcase your work during Tet Tuesday exhibition. We had a lovely one this year, so I hope that, you know, more people know about this and they can come and they can, yeah, just hang with us. Our programs are really focused on all learning and all arts learning and creative experiences for all ages. So yeah, those are maybe our main programs, but also we run artists residency for emerging artists to apply and then also get awarded to use one of our studios for free for 3 months. The application for next year is going to come out in August. And we also run partner program with Agnes Etherington Center and Modern Fuel, teen focused program where the teen artists can gain skills and learning experience to be in the professional arts, yeah, in the future. So yeah, those are the type of programs that we're running at the TETS, and I'm mostly focused on, yeah, maintaining and then make sure that everything runs smoothly.
I'm just curious about the Artist in Residence program. The applications are at the end of August for the next season. Like, so, what do people look for?
Yeah, so Artists in Residence, so it's called TET Artist Residency Program, and then we launched it in 2023, and then, you know, we first opened the application for the 2024 that year. And so it's a pretty new program. And then, you know, this year we have our 2025 Artists in Residence. Right now, Roll Grant is our artists in the summer, and they are staying in that studio for 3 months to practice their arts and also create new pieces. So like, again, there are 8 studios in that area, and one studio is dedicated for the Artist in Residence program. So for the Artist in Residence program, the emerging artist is selected and awarded the space for free for 3 months at a time. Other artists are creative studio artists that are renting the studio spaces to create their art and then also practice. Yeah, so the new application is opening in late August, and then it'll probably run until the beginning of October. So there will be plenty of time for emerging artists in Kingston to apply for this program if they're looking for a space to create work, develop their arts practice and stuff like that. The good thing about this is that you, as an emerging artist, will have the chance to also participate in the final TED Artist Residency Showcase. So all the artists that are selected in that year, they get to all together exhibit their work in this showcase. So that's something definitely that you would like to participate as an emerging artist in Kingston, because it's an opportunity for you to showcase your work to the community. And yeah, you'll be working closely with me, because I'll be kind of like the coordinator and the curator of that exhibition. So please, yeah, keep an eye out for that opportunity that's going to be open late August. It will be four spots, because 3 months at a time. So yeah, winter for 3 months, spring for 3 months, summer for 3 months, and then fall for 3 months. So currently we have our 2025 a summer artist in residence that is using their space right now. And then yeah, we want to see you in 2026 as our artist in residence.
Amazing. Right now, the Agnes Etherington Center, it doesn't have a physical space because it's under construction. Has that affected any of your programming with them?
So yeah, their building is under construction, but they did find some new office spaces on campus. So, you know, they still have spaces, but for programs that need to physically happen, because we're partners, so some of it happens at the TET, and you know, since the other partner, who is Modern Fuel, is also at the TET, so we've been using our spaces here to kind of give those arts learning experiences for teens. So far it's been great, and yeah, we're obviously very excited to have the Agnes reopen when the construction's done.
Yeah, that'll be exciting to see the new space. Okay, so Modern Fuel. I've heard a lot about it, but I actually don't know exactly what Modern Fuel is. Could you tell me about that?
Yeah, so at the TET, so this is our, you know, the building, and then there are 9 arts organizations in the building, including our organization. So our organization mainly kind of does the day-to-day operation of the building, but again, like, I manage programs for us, but then there's also other arts organizations, and Modern Fuel is one of them. So they're an artist-run center. They are historically well known, yeah, and then they host contemporary art exhibitions in their space. So they have local, regional, and also national artists coming into, you know, like, showcase their work in their annual exhibitions and stuff. But then they also have their membership program. So the members of their organizations also have their own exhibitions. So it's mainly, like exhibition kind of focus. But at the same time, like, they also have other programs such as, like, markets and I think creation-based workshops as well. So you definitely want to check out, like, if you're into arts, like, you definitely want to check out Modern Fuel to see what's available there.
I guess on the topic of programming, right now you're working on a pop-up art event.
Yeah, so again, you know, like, at the TED there is 9 arts organizations. So other than those programs that I mentioned, I also collaborate with these arts organizations to do more like a building-wide event. So in this case, the whole facility will open, and then we encourage all the arts organizations to open at the same time, so that when people, you know, when visitors come, they have accessibility and the chance to kind of visit all the art spaces, all the arts organizations, and then to engage with them and interact with them, and then see what the TED is about and then what we offer all together in the building. So again, there's 9 arts organizations, but we also have 8 studio artists that are located on the second floor, and they are also very much diverse in their practices and mediums. So during these building-wide events, like, they also offer something for the community, whether they just open their space for them to visit their spaces, or they also offer some interactive arts activities for, yeah, kids and families. So usually during these building-wide events, we try to run it at least like twice a year. So for sure we run building wide event on Family Day, because yeah, we very much welcome families for all ages. So Family Day is one day where the whole building is open, everybody's offering something for the community to engage with, and we also try to run something in the summer, because summer is also a time, you know, where a lot of members of the community, like, they are also looking for something to do in Kingston. So the summer pop-up that is coming up is definitely a way to find something to do in Kingston, where, you know, like, anyone, all ages, can engage with the arts experience here at the TETS, where we have all of these amazing arts organizations.
So what activities or stations or, you know, yeah, what activities can people expect at the pop-up?
Yeah, so, you know, it's a summer pop-up event, so not only we want to activate the indoor spaces of the TET, but we also want to activate some of the outdoor spaces as well. So there's going to be some arts and craft vendors around the entrance. And then one of our artists in residence this year was Erin Kennedy, who makes DIY robots that engages with the environment. So this artist definitely brings something very unique to the TET and to the arts world, making her own robots. So she's going to have her a butterfly robots being installed and activated in the grassy area around the TET as well. So the visitors of the TET can also experience some robots and engage with those when they come to this pop-up. So there will be those arts and crafts vendors for vendors that are featuring all these handmade creations, and then the robot artist Erin Kennedy offering the robotic experience. And I really want to highlight the community singing event that is going to be held in the Malting Tower. Malting Tower is a very beautiful space at the TET. It looks out to the lakefront, so there is beautiful view and lots of sunlight come in, and it's definitely a space for a great community gathering. So the community members are invited to come to the singing event and sing along together with a duo artist in Kingston called Fiercely Okay. So they're going to be leading and facilitating the community singing, and yeah, members of the public, you are all invited to come to this event to engage with some beautiful singing at the TET in the Malting Tower. And we have very affordable ticketing options. So families with three starting at $18, families of four, $22, and families of five, $25. But individuals are also very welcome to come at $10 per individual. And kids that are under 12, till six or five, and the kids under five are free. So you can check out all these very affordable ticketing options at the website. So we have this open on our website, but you can also just go to our Instagram at Test Center and then also find this ticketing in our link in bio. So if you just type in Test Center at anywhere on your browser, you'll be able to find this event happening and then also learn more about the ticketing options. And we really hope that we are going to be able to see some beautiful singing in the Malting Tower with you all.
So is it like a lesson that's being led?
Yeah, I mean, the Fiercely Okay, they're a duo that facilitates these singing sessions. So they will be the people who will kind of like walk you through singing together with everyone else. But it's definitely not something only to learn singing. It's just more like a musical experience that is for all ages, whether, you know, you are a seasoned singer or not. So it's really for anyone who is looking to learn some skills, but also just wants to engage with some fun activity.
Okay, so is that at a specific time during the pop-up event?
Yeah, so we are offering three sessions during the pop-up time. The whole pop-up event is from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., so it's 4 hours. And then during those 4 hours, you can really navigate all around the TET and then see what other organizations and the artists are offering. And those are all offered free. But for the singing event, we are hosting 3 sessions during this time period. Yeah, so the first session is happening at 10 a.m., and every session runs for 45 minutes. So the second one runs at 11:30 a.m., the third one at 1 p.m., and every session runs for 45 minutes. And, during this time, you're obviously welcome to walk in and out.
Apart from the singing, I also saw that there was like an open studio and drop-in art making session. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, there's 8 artists that are at the TED creating their own art pieces. So on the second floor, we have what's called creative studios, and those studios are where these artists are staying to create their work. So if you go to that area, again, when you come to the pop-up events, you will find the signs and everything so that, you won't have any difficulty to go there. But basically, some of the artists are offering their own art making experience. So there's going to be, we have a Arabic calligraphy artist who usually for these events, like, he will write your name in Arabic calligraphy, and then you can take that with you as a souvenir. So that's definitely happening. And then I believe another artist might be hosting like a zine making activity, so that's another activity. And then possibly there's also going to be some pinch pot ceramic making. So there's definitely going to be different types of activities that people can engage with when they come. But then again, like, you're going to be able to see what other artists have been creating in their own spaces that are all very diverse and unique. So not only you're going to experience art just looking at their work, but also like you'll be able to do some hands-on making with them.
There was one more part of the art pop-up that I wanted to ask about, which is the TET Tree of Life yarn installation. Yes. What is that?
Yeah, so it's going to be actually part of the singing event. So the singing event is called All Together Now. So while that singing sessions are happening in the Malting Tower, we're going to have that TET Tree of Life installation activated as well. So basically, TET Tree of Life is like a tree installation, and it was made by one of our staff members, Brandon Elderhorst, and he created this for our Culture Day celebration 2 years ago. But I mean, since then, we also want to keep using it because it's a great installation. It's basically a tree that is carved out of wooden boards. And it's a structure where people can create pieces of work and then install it. So during this event, we want to also have this installation in the space so that people can create some yarn creations. There's going to be materials already at hand. You don't need to bring anything. You'll be guided or just provided with materials to engage with, and then you can create whatever you want to with the yarn, and then you can interact with the TET Tree of Life installation. You can hang it there, you can take pictures. It's going to look very beautiful in the Malting Tower, again, with all the sunlights coming in, all the natural lights coming in. So hopefully this adds to the activity, to both being in the space and then also singing with everyone.
Well, for a general question, why do you think events like this are important for the community?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just when community comes together and interact with each other in a creative way, it really creates a sense of connection with each other. Like, as an arts program person, like, I feel like there's always something very unique about engaging with each other in a more like artsy way, whether it's like hands-on making or, you know, singing together or dancing together. I think that unites people more and makes people bond together faster. And I think that's kind of like what this is also about. Like, we want people to come and experience the building and then experience being together in more creative way.
It kind of, art allows you to be a little more open and emotional, so it makes sense. You can connect more easily.
Yeah, you can connect more easily. And then I think a connection is overall important, you know, like people can get isolated easily nowadays. Like, there's all kinds of options that they can just kind of engage with at home. Like, you know, there's all these digital devices that people can really get themselves absorbed into. So sometimes, you know, like, you want to be out there and then engage with people and connect with people in a more physical way. You know, like, it might inspire you in some other ways than watching things all the time. So that's what I think I really appreciate about being at the TET, because there's all these amazing mediums that are happening, very hands-on and very bodily engaged. Yeah, and I hope that, you know, that kind of like comes across to people who like to experience that.
Amazing. Well, I think we covered everything that I wanted to ask, but thank you so much for meeting with me today and telling me all about the pop-up.
Thank you for inviting me to talk about this.
You just heard a conversation between myself, Ellie Sturton, and Jung Ah Kim, the Program and Communications Coordinator of the TET Center in Kingston. If you're around Kingston on August 4th from 10 to 2 p.m., make sure to stop in at the TET Center for a day of fun with your family and friends. Now coming up, a conversation between myself and DJ Dina. Dina has a show here at CFRC. They're also a visual artist, a ceramicist, and a DJ. They will be playing tonight at Springer Market Square for the Rock in the Square event. They're opening for the Hallucination, and you don't want to miss it. So without further ado, here is Dina talking all about their music, inspirations, and performances. Today I'm joined by Dina, or DJ Dina, and we're going to be talking about their upcoming performance at the Rock in the Square event this Friday, tonight, actually. Welcome, Dina.
Hello. Hi.
Listeners, you might know Dina from their show on Friday, Different Circles.
For sure. I too have a show on Friday. I do 9 to 10 p.m., Different Circles. But I pre-record it most weeks because I live about 45 minutes north of Kingston these days, but I started Different Circles when I lived in Kingston still.
Could you tell me a little bit about your show?
I mean, my show sounds like so many of the other radio shows on CFRC, because it's really eclectic, which seems to be a theme. Different Circles is, each week I play music that's on my mind and of the moment, so I take inspiration from how I'm feeling, whether it's the news or a joyful, magical moment in nature. All of those things kind of inspire, and sometimes it's an invitation to share in collective grief through music. Other times it's about finding moments of peace and levity, but always about love. It's always music that I love. I've been collecting records since I was young, but my love of music extends beyond vinyl, and so the stuff that I play is a mix of digital and my vinyl collection, but I definitely take inspiration from that collection. Like, I'll record some records and then find the digital sounds that I like, that I know go well with it. In my opinion, is more accessible, because a lot of the musicians that I like that are still working today that could benefit from the promotion directly aren't necessarily pressing vinyl. And I mean, it is also a very costly habit. So
yeah,
I really try to mix it up. And I also really mix up genres and generations, because in my mind, genres share so much more than they have these differences. And these differences, while defined, I think have a lot of room for exploration and expansion, especially when you take into consideration how music inspires other musicians or around the world, how music movements inspire. Lately, I've been playing a lot of very politically themed music because I feel that this is a platform that I can share and also amplify a sentiment from a community that is platforming what is happening and what has been happening. So I try to, for example, I try to connect things, not just in the moment, but also, like, if I'm talking about, you know, the violence that a racialized community will face, I will find music that shows that they have been speaking about this directly and, you know, allow that to be the thing that strengthens that voice, because I don't know, that's the amazing thing about community radio. It's like alternative news, alternative views, but it's a place for community. And I think especially right now where there is so much kind of shift towards fascism, even within Canada, these thoughtful community spaces that are trying to connect people, I think, is so important and valuable.
That sounds amazing. Like a really thoughtful show, like, that you put on. And it's so true. Like right now, everybody is kind of disconnected and all of these terrible things are happening. It can feel very overwhelming. And I think having a space like your show to kind of, you know, feel that with a community and, you know, get to dive into that in kind of a safe space. I think that's so important.
I won't deny that, like, some shows are just that escapism, right? Like, I'll be like, I want to go back to a dance floor in New York in the late 70s, early 80s and explore all of those really fun sounds, whether it's ESG or Patrick Cowley, and just how movement also helps in these moments where we feel that so much is beyond our control. So some of them are just about getting myself, whether it's moving through a thought or moving body-wise and hoping that other people can kind of do the same.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. Also living out in the country, I end up having to drive a fair bit. So if people catch it on their drive, maybe they're not dancing, but you're right about that, like, kind of safe space that I'm trying to create. Yeah. That within that bubble, you know, they're like, oh, I may be listening to a like-minded person, especially because, like, the hate is always amplified and, you know, so loud. So
yeah,
these little kind of moments of subversion, I think, are really important.
Yeah, obviously music is a huge part of your life, and you're also a visual artist. You mentioned that you do artwork with records, like with physical vinyls, is that correct?
Definitely inspired by.
Okay.
I almost rarely use vinyl within my work, but I do. I love work that does. I've seen some amazing pieces. But my work is inspired by my personal experiences. It's a documentation of a life lived and these connections and these communities. And so the work that, for example, is on display right now locally in Kingston at Something Else Records is record stores from around the world and locally that I have had, you know, bought a record that became my favorite, met a person that became my favorite, all those kinds of things, or just processed something for myself in those spaces. There's something for me really, and many people, I think, calming about going through systematically large quantities of information. It's a little treasure hunt. You don't know, I'm not always looking for something. I'm just seeing what's there and letting things catch my eye, and I find that relaxing. So I'm also influenced by album covers. I'm influenced by the way artists want to present themselves. The imagery that we kind of collectively share really inspires me. So there's also some pieces of some women and femme and non-binary people DJing, which I think is important because we see so much imagery of men DJing, but over time, we're only kind of starting to push back and find a balance within that. And so to be able to contribute in a visual way, my work is heavily influenced by underground comics and old school animation. So I do a lot of painterly backgrounds with like line work drawings over them to kind of echo the combination of those styles. And then I collage in ephemera, like little papers and bits of, you know, a corner of a ticket, something that makes that piece like you cannot replicate that piece because there's something within it that can't be found again. You can only copy it in a surface way. So that's kind of the intention within the artwork. But yeah, music's definitely, whether I'm listening to it while I'm making work or it's inspired by musical experiences, that really is a major theme.
That's so cool. Like kind of multi material work. It's almost like, I don't know, history almost, like personal history that gets put into there. Very cool.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
So on the topic of music, you are performing tonight at Springer Market Square. You are opening for the Hallucination, and that sounds like a really exciting show. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
Hallucination, yeah, I'm so excited. You will find me dancing along to their music and their openers, the Chippewa Travelers. I'm really lucky that I get to play a really short but sweet chill house set and inspired music. As you can probably tell, I love expanding the idea of what these genres are and can be, and finding other ways that they influence music. So it'll be eclectic for me, but so please do come at 8 o'clock, and also to find a great spot because Springer Market is outdoors, it's free. So come if you're not up for dancing and you need to have a seat, no problem, bring a chair. It's just that kind of night for everybody. The Hallucination, formerly A Tribe Called Red, taking an inspiration totally from A Tribe Called Quest. So that's the first hint that they are influenced by hip-hop and make hip-hop, but it's beyond that. It's hip-hop, reggae, dub, and also infusing vocal chanting and drumming, these strong elements of the First Nations. And they also incorporate Moonbutton, which I think is part of why we had the house request, because that genre is derived from house music and reggaeton, and so it is a more kind of chill house sound, usually being around 108 BPMs. And the Hallucination, also pretty local. They're based in Ottawa, which is not too far from Kingston, and the Chippewa Travelers, similarly based in Ontario, and they are... The Chippewa Travelers, founded in 1998, are a family drum group originally from the Chippewas of Nawash, Cape Croker Reservation, and I cannot wait to hear them perform. I'm so excited.
The schedule for the night is you are the opening act at 8 o'clock.
Yes. Exactly. From 8 to 8:30, I'm going to be bringing records along and have the turntables all set up and sharing some sounds. And then it's going to go into the Chippewa Travelers, and then headlining are the Hallucination. And it's just going to be a great night of music and a great night in Kingston. I always love these, open public and celebratory events that the city of Kingston puts together. And I feel really lucky to be asked to do Rockin' the Square this year.
Yeah, and so it's such an accessible event. Like, I mean, it's free for anybody listening. Go with your family, friends, you know, open air in the summer night, like listening to amazing music. It's perfect. You can't get a better night than that, in my opinion. Yeah. When did you find out that you were going to be performing?
I found out a few weeks ago, and since then I have been pulling records from my own collection and listening to them and trying to find what, you know, having to edit it down to 30 minutes, that's a challenge. And I also want to be able to have a freedom and flexibility on the day. So, you know, just a couple of weeks, but it also means that this exciting thing is here so soon.
Mm-hmm. Is there, I don't know if you want to tell me, if you want to keep it a secret, totally good, but is there a specific record or track that you are kind of excited to play?
What I will say is that similar to the Hallucination that has all of these different influences, I am going to be playing things in that chill house tempo that maybe expand that notion a little bit and also bring in some familiarity. So An artist that I've definitely been thinking of how I can slide into this set is Sade. I think it'll fit in with kind of the grooves and the mood, but to be determined. I'm still building that stack, and I might keep it more pure. I'm definitely going to start off with some Dream House. I do think I'm going to take it to Japan at some moment and play some kind of ambient Japan that has some really great beats to it that I do think work well within the set. Maybe aren't categorically that chill house sound, but I think definitely inspire lots of people that are working within that, as that there's some more vintage sounds. So I think, yeah, I'm excited to play an eclectic set to kind of warm up the night, you know, set the tone as a great time, be really welcoming.
For people who don't know, could you describe the sound or the feeling of that music?
Chill house music is a subgenre within house music that, as described, is more relaxed. And so the BPMs, or the beats per minute, are 100 to 125 beats per minute. But that doesn't define, the beats per minute don't define the genre alone, because other closely related genres like deep house, which you will hear a little bit of in my set, it has a more soulful kind of gospel funk overlay to it. So a little bit decidedly less chill, but the tempo is similar with 110 to 125. And then also, I should note, there's genres like tropical house that are 100 to 115 BPM. So that's kind of my approach to this chill house set, is that I'm going through all the records that I've pulled that I want to play, and I'm identifying the BPM of them, and going to kind of stay within this chill house world, but expand what that means. I'm going to play some more traditional stuff within the genre to set the tone, and then probably elaborate a little bit more. But yeah, I think depending on your experience of chill house, I'm taking a more old school approach to it. I'm definitely more looking to earlier house music than what's happening right now, but that's because I'm playing on vinyl only. Mm. If I was incorporating digital sounds into this set, which I could do through setting up my computer, but for the sake of what we're doing tonight, we want to keep it a little bit more pure than just the turntables. So I am kind of relying on stuff that is a bit more of a classic chill house. Yeah, I think it's a combination of the beats per minute and also the energy that mm-hmm. the song brings, and like the vibe that it's setting. So my thinking is that while we're welcoming everybody, they don't want it too amped up because then that drum group's going to come and really amp it up. People will be able to feel that percussion, and then to go into like the grand performance of the hallucination. So we're kind of building over the night.
You also mentioned that you're performing at Wolf Island. Is that Analog Fest? Or
no, not the Analog Music Music Fest, which formerly known as Wolf Cella, put on by Many Moons. But I did get the joy of DJing with a few of the DJs that were performing that weekend. We did Musiki outside the Thursday night before, and so I DJed with Chris Rinkerick, Moon Hymns, and DJ LK. And then that weekend had so many more great DJs and live performances. I'm going to be DJing at the Wolf Island Music Festival August 8th and 9th. It's a really long-running festival put out by Flying V Productions. This year we have Holy F*** Born Ruffians, Land of Talk, Chloe Doucette, Almond Milk, Good Fortune, Emily Steele and the Deal, and Kira. And I'll be DJing both nights outside, starting at 5:30 on the Friday night and 6:30 on the Saturday, where there's going to be food and drink. It's at St. Margaret Halls on Wolf Island, so check that out for details. Would love to see some people there. It's always a beautiful night on the island with the outdoor and the indoor at St. Margaret's Church. A really great night of music.
Amazing. So that's August 8th and 9th.
August 8th and 9th, Wolf Island Music Festival. Check out Flying V Productions for more details.
Okay, so big summer of music for you. Lots of performances going on.
Yes and no. Why I say yes and no is that I used to DJ all the time, and now And now I really only come out on rare occasions, and I feel really lucky to get to DJ with other great DJs and musical performers, and to have been asked to do so many prestigious kind of events for the city and for Verge. Yeah, I think with summertime, a lot of people want to enjoy music, and it's the perfect time to enjoy it with them.
Yeah, I don't know. I think in summer, like, people have more energy, so I always find, like, I get inspired when I go see live music. You know, it's new ideas, new sounds, new feelings, and I think that's really, really nice to get some of that in summer when, I don't know, you have more energy to kind of accept these experiences.
Totally. I just saw Leigh Shirley and the Linda Lindas at the Ottawa's Blues Fest, and it was amazing. They were incredible. They were opening up for Green Day, who I've seen a few times in the years past, but my highlights were really Leigh Shirley's and the Linda Lindas, and it made me come home and go through my own collection and pull out all this amazing female-fronted punk from years past and just, like, build this whole story of, like, 50 years of this sound and the similarities and the evolution. And really, the evolution is the platform. The similarities are so strong in the expression and the music. That was always there. So now to have seen them at this awesome music fest and to get to enjoy music with other people, I think that is being in community. You know, it's definitely a tool used all the time, but it's just so wonderful. I think in the summertime, there's this energy in Canada. It is, we've endured the winter, and we know the summer is short and fleeting, and so I think there is this really exciting energy where people just want to have a good time where they can, and I feel really lucky to get to facilitate some of those moments through the sounds that I share, and be in community with them while they're having a good time.
That perfectly sums it up. I think that's the whole Rock in the Square event, a really wonderful event that the city is putting on to allow people to just have a good time in summer.
Exactly. This was wonderful, and thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you so much for taking the time. I feel like, I don't know, if I had a show coming up, I'd be pretty stressed.
I'm excited. That's not to say I'm not nervous and stressed. I'm just trying to do my preparation to make sure I've set myself up for success. And then that's all I can do. I want to have fun on the night of, for sure. And I hope to see you there.
Congratulations again. It's going to be an amazing performance, and I can't wait to see it. You just heard a conversation between myself and DJ Dina. Dina will be performing tonight at Springer Market Square at 8 p.m. The Chippewa Travelers will go on at 8:30, and then the headliner, The Hallucination, at 9 p.m. It's going to be a fantastic night of live music put on by the City of Kingston. So come down to Springer Market Square to enjoy the open air and great tunes. To give you a taste of The Hallucination, I'm going to play a couple of their songs. First, you'll hear The Muse, followed by The Light. Hope you enjoy.
que di yo viví por ti. Todo lo que tú tenías, todo lo que yo recorrí y viví, para que los sueños tuyos y los míos se tenían. Luego te dan un beso y de la mano ya te di. Por eso te digo, es aquí, es aquí, es aquí, es aquí.
Heard The Muse and the Light by The Hallucination.
And that's all for this week's installation of The Kingston Curator. I'm your host, Ellie Sturton, and you can catch me each week Friday at 3 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM. Have a great weekend.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present Diane Young, a cover song that Evan Jackson has been playing live for years and that remains a fan favorite for its danceability and chaos. This recorded version reimagines the original through a rockabilly country rock lens, leaning into a reckless energy that's always been there. Though it's a Vampire Weekend song, Evan gets a little bit of Elvis on it, and it's something that you're sure to enjoy. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Diane Young by Evan Jackson on your favorite platforms and enjoy it here with us now on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Hey, try to go it alone. naturally, but you got the look of a Kennedy, so grab the wheel, keep holding it tight, till it's hotter than hell, then I got the cool night, and if I'm your mom, change your mind, then baby, 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 right on time. Baby, 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 right on. Baby, 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 right on. Baby, 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 right on time. 80, 80, 80, it's a lifetime. Baby, 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 right on.
KPP Concerts has a stacked lineup of all-ages concerts happening at the Broom Factory through the summer into early fall. On June 27th, check out Housewife, followed by Friday's Child at the Broom Factory on July 11th. Then on August 10th, enjoy music from hip-hop artist Matt Mac, followed later by The Dirty Nil on September 19th. Then on September 26th, it's Petite Belle Ivaux and neo-grunge icons The Bridge City Sinners coming to town on September 27th. And then Yukon Blonde gets us into the fall spirit on September 28th. All shows are all ages at the Broom Factory and co-presented by CFRC 101.9 FM. For a complete list of shows and ticket information, visit kppconcerts.com.